Yes, we are recording this. I'm going to temporarily put everybody on mute. We have a number of speakers who are scheduled to speak this morning, and then we will, time permitting, maybe have an opportunity to kind of open up for just general conversation. But for now, I'm going to put everybody on mute. I will give you the opportunity to unmute yourself as we go through. At the outset, Sunny, thank you for agreeing to this. I know it's a lot, and we certainly as a community appreciate that effort. I want to thank Heschel and Adina for their effort in coordinating all of the speakers and this gathering this morning. A special Bruchim Abayim and welcome to Rabbi Bienenfeld, who is joining us together with a number of I don't know if you can say ex-St. Louisans. St. Louisans are St. Louisans forever, but St. Louisans who are living in Israel. So we have the representation from across the ocean, and we thank you for joining us this morning. We're looking forward to hearing your words as well. There are a number of people slated to speak. I'm just going to announce who's speaking in the order that we have set it up for, so that you will know the sequence in which you are speaking. And then, rather than introducing each person individually, I think it'll be easier that way. And so I will just say a few words at the outset as an introduction. We have Phyllis and Jack Shapiro will say a few words, Batya and Yehuda Goldstein, Shelley Wolf, Betsy Zimbalist, Rabbi Bienenfeld, Miriam Berger, Adina, and then maybe Sunny. We'll open it up at that point. So I want to thank everybody in advance for sharing your words. After I finish my introductory remarks, I'll post the sequence of speakers in the chat group as well. I just want to begin with really a thank you to Sunny. You know, of late we've seen a trend. Families, parents, grandparents, after retirement, relocating to be closer to children and grandchildren. And we certainly understand the trend, and it always leaves a hole behind for us to fill. But your situation is unique, because you have not only been such an integral part of the community, but in so many ways you've been an inspiration to the community. Your extraordinary devotion that you've shown to Larry, to your children and grandchildren, your Mesiras Nefesh above and beyond, which really has enabled Larry to reach this point, has been inspiring to witness and in some small way to be a part of. But well beyond that, your devotion to your friends, to the community, to the shul, to Torah study, both of you will hear from others on that level as well, but I still recall the participation of Larry in my Kohelet and 13 Principles of Faith shiurim 13 years ago. He's engaging and penetrating questions, and your continuing participation in our weekly Navi shiur. Despite all that you have on your plate, the way in which you make time for learning and for halachic guidance through the most trying of circumstances, it's really an extraordinary role model for the community. Now, in each of the three sidrot that we've read now and continue to read, telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, in each parsha there's a reference to the role of the family in the building blocks of Jewish life. So Sefer Shemot opens with a description of Yaakov and his children coming down to Mitzrayim, Ish uveto vau. Right in the middle, in Parshat Va'era, opens up with the description of the lineage of the households of Israel, Ele Rashi Beit Avotam. And then in this coming week's parasha, when they're ready to leave, and Paro challenges Moshe, who's going? And Moshe insists, Binareinu bizkenenu nelech, we are going with our young, with our old, Bivaneinu bivnateinu, with our sons and daughters. We're all leaving together, because ultimately this message that permeates the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim is that we build Jewish life family by family. And all of these years that you have raised a family, lemofet, children and grandchildren, lamdanim, mechanchim, yerushamayim, devoted to Jewish life, to Jewish communal leadership. Your devotion to them and to Larry has really been extraordinary. We are certainly sad to see you leave, but not surprised. It really makes a lot of sense. But we are also inspired by this next step in your journey. And we will continue to be so as we watch your next chapter in the story unfold in ways that enable you and your children to continue to do what you have always done and the model that you have set for them. And so our bracha to you is to go with strength. And may the Ribbono Shel Olam continue to give you good health and the blessing of nachas from your children and grandchildren and your family for many years to come. So on behalf of all of us, we thank you and for all that you have done for our community and continue to do for your family now and in the years to come. I am going to turn the mic over at this time to Phyllis and Jack Shapiro, and I'll post in the chat the sequence of who is speaking next.
Great, Rabbi Shlomo. Yeah, I'm unmuted. So I met Sunny almost immediately after she and Larry arrived in St. Louis. Shelley called me all excited. There's another Orthodox woman who just moved here who's going to be in law school with you. Sunny and I clicked instantly, not just because we were both studying to be lawyers, but we found we had similar worldviews, similar political leanings, and very importantly, similar senses of humor. Sunny, I think one of the nicest things you ever said to me was quoting Rena, who said after she heard you laughing on the phone, "I always know when you're talking to Phyllis." We shared more than laughs. We shared hard times too. When Jack had his bike accident 30 plus years ago, Sunny never left my side at the hospital for days on end. Rabbi Bienenfeld had told her it was important that I eat. Sunny followed me around with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich wherever I went. The Davises have been part of our life here, from raising our kids together, Epstein and Block, shared Thanksgiving dinners and Purim Sudot each year. Sunny, I know this is the right move for you and Larry, and I'm so happy that you will be with your daughters and grandchildren, sons-in-laws, but I'm so sad to see you leaving. Zoom will help, but it won't be the same. Seichem l'shalom. I'll cede a few seconds now to the gentleman from St. Louis.
Yeah, I just want to say that for many years, Earl Newman and I went over to the Davis' house every week to learn Gemara with Larry. This started when he kind of retired because of his health condition beginning, but he was still in great shape. He would come up with interesting comments on the Gemara that we were learning. And when we finished a particular Masechta, he would fully participate in our Siyum. Even after he started to have trouble telling us what he was thinking about while we were learning the Gemara, I could tell by his expression that he was following along. I feel honored to be able to call Larry my chavruta. Earl and I still learn together over Zoom, but we miss Larry's presence and insights and humor. Have a safe trip and easy landing in Cleveland.
Batya and Yehuda, I think you're up next.
Sorry. 30 years. Actually, a little more than 30 years that Yehuda and I have had the joy, the privilege of the relationship with Sunny and Larry. and Yehuda will speak of his relationship with Larry. But for the two of us, the relationship with both is a precious, precious thing. Yes, I tend to try to put things in order in my mind. And I was thinking, Sunny, about you and about those traits in you that were so important to me to have in a friend, and in fact are important for anyone, I'm sure, who's been in contact. And I came across a little piece talking about the traits that shape a good lawyer. And as I went through them, I thought, yes, and I'm going to mention them. The first, interestingly, and for anybody who is prejudiced against, this might be surprising, but the very first one is compassion, that a good lawyer really needs to be able to relate, in this case, to a client. The ability to listen. Assertiveness, but not aggressiveness. Having your positions, but listening to the other and responding. Creativity and perseverance. Now, these, for everyone who knows Sunny, they know that this is just a shorthand. There's so much more that can be said. But these are some of the traits. And then I came to the proverbial, literally proverbial, description, which is Esh Chayil. And that is typically translated to be a woman of valor. Now, valor is a beautiful word. It's a good word. But I think, and this is not unique to me, I've come across many who respond to that by saying that Esh Chayil is a woman of strength. The word Chayil, when you think of it, a Chayal, a soldier, Chayil is a military force. An Esh Chayil is a woman of strength. And Sunny, in all aspects, you are a woman of strength. You're a woman of strength in your marriage, in your family, with your friends, in your profession, in the community, in every way possible. You are a woman of strength. And again, I say, I am so joyful that I have been able to, for 30 plus years, be close geographically, as well as emotionally, and the closeness emotionally will remain. And we wish you the very best as you move to the next step in the journey. Now, Yehuda.
Good morning here. I had the privilege of learning with Larry and developing a regular meeting. And I saw it was a tremendous opportunity to learn from a professor of philosophy and a Talmud Chacham. I also learned about Larry in the course of our Chevrusa. Larry taught as a philosopher that what one says must be treated with great respect. One is responsible for what one promises, what one believes, and how one speaks. And in fact, a pillar of society is truth. We know that from Shimon ben Gamliel. And from Larry, I learned how the Rambam treated human speech. In the Rambam's organization of halachot, in Sefer HaFla'ah, he gathers together all of the halachot, all of the regulations of human speech. And it must be treated as holy, and the people are responsible for what they say. Truth is important. We've learned that, of course, in the present circumstances. In discussions with Larry, as his disability became more severe, he initiated some questions about hearing, and I know something about hearing. We talked about that. It was clear that there was no solution that I could present other than describe certain things. And Larry remarked by saying, "I'm a very lucky man." I looked at him kind of in astonishment. He said, "I have a wonderful family." Then I realized that I was learning with a tzaddik. Larry, be well. You are going with Sonny to a safer place, but the interaction and what I learned from Larry, both from halacha and about him, will remain with me as long as I can be. Farewell. Safe trip. Bye.
I think I'm next.
Yes, you are.
Okay, well, you have to understand, there are two caveats here. One, I have to read because otherwise I'll get very nervous. Secondly, I deleted my original piece of paper because I'm such a computer whiz. So I had to write something else. So bear with me. It's very hard to believe that it's over 40 years since Sonny and Larry arrived in St. Louis with Rena, who is about 4, and with Miriam, who was about 2. And she was just about to start Washington University Law School. Sonny called me almost immediately after her arrival on the advice of a college classmate of mine from Baltimore. And we've been friends ever since. But as the years went by, I really felt it was more like a sisterhood than a friendship. Over the years, our families have shared so many of life's experiences, the pressure of law school, Sarah's birth, Devorah's birth, babysitting problems, the loss of our parents, graduations, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, gap years in Israel, weddings, the joys and surprises of grandparenthood, and the challenges of retirement and illness. There were the early years of juggling the pressures of studying and parenting and getting ready for Shabbos. I remember when you decided to take the job at Monsanto, which then meant long hours devoted to your job. But among my most vivid memories are the years you served as president of Black Yeshiva High School. How I marveled at the thought and care you put into every discussion, every decision, as we sat around your dining room table for board meetings. I also knew about the endless work you put in both before and after those meetings. I remember the lesser decisions that were made throughout the years. Buying a couch, the car, and whether to get the cat. Balked at the cat, but eventually James became very much a part of your family, and in fact, I think she was your cat. Of course, we marked our birthdays, never with anything special, Just a reminder each October that even though our birthdays fell out a week apart, you would always be 5 years younger. As the years passed, I saw the depth of feeling for your extended family and friends, your warm relationships with all kinds of people, and your devotion to your daughters, their families, and of course, to Larry. Everything you did was with great thought, discretion, and honesty. Finally, I remember our weekly Shabbos afternoon visits. We sat and we talked about it all. A little gossip, our kids, work, community, what to wear to the Epstein dinner, always trust, humor, insight, and wisdom. We'd eventually break out the lime diet Coke and chat some more. Sometimes we'd move into the kitchen for some hot tea and more conversation. And I remember how hard it was to leave those conversations and move back to our weekday lives. 8 years ago, when Mitch and I planned our move to Israel, I knew that those Shabbos afternoons would be the things I missed the most. And I was right. I still miss them. But we are so lucky. We know what true friendship is. We know that friendship can still flourish from afar. In the past 8 years, we've managed to see each other a few times, but we speak often, and we WhatsApp, and we email, and we know we're a part of each other's lives. Now you're the one who's leaving. Certainly St. Louis will be far poorer for your leaving. But I know that in addition to the impact you made in the community by work and by example, the friendships you made will surely endure. Mitch and I and all our kids send our love, our deep love. And wish you and Larry a successful transition to your new home in Cleveland. We wish you good health, new friendships, and the great joy of living near your children and grandchildren. We send you hugs.
Thank you. Betsy, I believe you are up next.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
That was beautiful, Shelley. Sunny Davis knows how to smile, to laugh, to make fun of herself, and to fight like hell to keep her beloved Larry in the game. With courage and grace, with wit and grit, you, Sunny Davis, have shown us what is possible in impossible circumstances. And now you are taking this courageous step to move to Cleveland and to enter into a new life. That your amazing daughters are your support team is the natural outcome of the wonderful parents you and Larry have been. Stuart and I wish you only the good in health, in strength, and in vibrant spirit. We will surely miss you. We will never forget our happy times together round your Shabbos table.
Thank you. Chavod, it's an honor to welcome Rabbi Bienenfeld to this call and to this discussion. Rabbi Bienenfeld, I did see you earlier. I'm looking for your box. There you are. Okay, listed. Rabbi Bienenfeld, the mic is all yours.
Thank you, Rabbi Shulman. I'd like to thank Adina for inviting me to say a few words to two very special people. I didn't expect to see so many faces. I didn't know how many people would be involved. So I'm sort of pleasantly surprised. I know I speak for Yocheved and myself to see so many dear friends, like it was just yesterday. So the nostalgia is very, very warm and very, very welcome. Especially to my colleagues, Rabbi Shulman, Rabbi Greenblatt, Rabbi Krauss. It's really, I'm very thankful that I was asked to speak, if only to see all these wonderful faces that we both miss so much. In 1964, Rav Soloveitchik, as part of one of his Yahrzeit shiurim, unpacked what he called the doctrine of shlichut, of assignment. Essentially, what the Rav said was that Hashem gave us all, when he created us and placed us on this earth, he gave us an assignment. We were appointed as his agent to fulfill a certain mission. Sometimes our assignment is more than one. It would be wonderful if some malach, some angel whispered in our ear and told us exactly what our assignment, what our shlichut was supposed to be. And sometimes we spend a lifetime trying to figure it out. The Rav often mused that many people might have thought that his assignment was to disseminate Torah to thousands of Talmidim and to be a force within Judaism in his day and really for a long, long time. But then he would muse and he would say, well, maybe my role, my assignment was to help one lonely soul cope with their anxieties and problems. So while we sometimes struggle to figure out exactly what our shlichut, what our assignment is supposed to be, in my experience that sometimes we can observe, sometimes, the lives of others, our friends, family, and we might be able to surmise what their assignment, what their shlichut might have been. And then we can learn from them. And I'd like to use that notion of shlichut to frame the few words that I have to say to Sonny and, of course, to Larry by extension. It goes back to the very beginning. I remember when I gave one of the pre-Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Yom Noraim drashas about Bechira Chavshis, and Larry very kindly came over to me and began to debate with me some finer philosophical points. It was the first time that I really had met him. And immediately I discovered that I was really dealing with a balabaz who would hold my feet to the fire if I made any mistakes. But of course, he never really did. I mean, as brilliant as he was. When we think of Larry, a brilliant academician, professor of philosophy, a very deep thinker, maybe his role, maybe his shlichut was to disseminate that knowledge along with many other things. And Sunny, maybe her shlichut to be a successful, highly competent, thought of attorney. And both of them together within our community, they demonstrated, they had this ethical commitment, this pristine integrity about how they lived their lives, religiously committed and devoted to the community. Maybe that was a combination of their shlichut, of their assignment. But now, when we begin to think of their departing St. Louis and the empty space they will leave in the hearts and minds of all of us, those in St. Louis and those of us who have made Aliyah who don't live there anymore, then, at least to me, I think their shlichut might have been something else in addition to all of the above. Look, I remember Larry, and I see him in my mind's eye as somebody who over the years had to suffer and had to deal with, as we know, this debilitating illness, the physical setbacks that he had to endure. And yet it was amazing when I would visit with him and I would see this slow descent into these physical disabilities. But you know, there was something very deep and very strong and very enduring about the courage that he showed, a fortitude. It was a sense that I had, and every now and then it would come out in my discussions. He just managed to adjust again and again to his disabilities, to these physical constraints. It was amazing how he did it. It took a certain strength of character to endure and persevere. And I remember in one conversation, I don't quite sure how it came about, he said to me, "Ubacharto b'chayim." And that sort of summed it up. He was a person about living. For whom? For his wife, for his children, grandchildren, because life was important, and he adjusted. And how he managed to do that, I don't know whether I'll ever know or whether any of us will ever know. And then the shlichut that Sonny demonstrated over the years. And I say this apart from all the many things that people have already said. And the fact that we're all repeating it in one fashion or another just speaks to the truth of who these two people are. Maybe part of Sonny shlichut was to patiently, lovingly devote herself to her husband in addition to her career. How she managed to do both, we'll never know. There was always a smile in her voice. You know, when you would speak to Sonny after a while, there was a little bit of a giggle in her voice. And, you know, I think it said something that as fiercely as devoted as she was to her husband, and notwithstanding all the sacrifices that she has had to make over the years, sacrifices that her dear friends know full well, nonetheless, what came out was the joy was still there. I don't recall her ever complaining. That type of shlichut, that type of assignment is absolutely incredible. How she did it, I don't know how she did it. I don't know how anyone could have done it and how she continues to do it. But this is what I believe makes both Larry and Sonny so very, very special to all of us. Because, you know, even as they leave, and, you know, the Rav used to point out that friendship is not characterized by how many times we talk to each other over the phone. Real enduring friendship can exist. Two people, the Rav would say, may not speak to each other for years. And yet when they get on the phone, it's as if they never, never departed, left one another. You know, that's how we feel about Larry and Sonny. I haven't seen them in so many, many years. But when I spoke to Sonny last week, it was like it was only yesterday. And I think that's the mark of the friendship that we all feel for these two wonderful people. It's not how often we'll speak to each other, but they have implanted themselves in our hearts and souls over these many years that they will always be with us. And whenever we do speak, it'll always be just like yesterday, when we were together and we shared so many wonderful, wonderful memories together. So to both of these two wonderful people, there's a big empty space in St. Louis that they're leaving, but I know their daughters, three wonderful, wonderful people, and they're going to a wonderful place. And yes, Hashem, we hope to hear from them again and again and again. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Bienenfeld, for those beautiful and inspiring words. I'm going to turn the mic now over to Miriam. You are not sure where you are, but you are here.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Adina, for asking me to represent the family, and thank you to my sisters for allowing me to represent the family. I can easily speak for all of us when I say how emotional this is and how beautiful and inspiring and powerful this is to just see everybody gathered here and to hear such profound and eloquent and very accurate things said about our parents. By the way, my mother's email address is in the Shul bulletin, so be sure you find it and use it often. Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara in Yoma that a person should only be appointed to a position of leadership if they have some sort of shady lineage, so that if they become too arrogant, we can say to them, just look at your roots and they'll become humble. This is clearly why I have never been appointed to a position of leadership. Because even though the Gemara is speaking about ancestry, my roots as a whole make me feel awesome. When I was growing up, there were things I took for granted as normal. Terms like Vad Ha'ir, chief rabbi, schnooks. Things like seeing your principal at shul every Shabbos. Having classmates who stayed with you from before kindergarten through high school graduation. Knowing families with three American generations who live near each other, all of them davening at the same shul. And of course, I also thought it was normal that when you had a bat mitzvah, it meant that a squad of your mother's closest friends would come together to do everything. The decorating team, the catering club, Sundays spent in the Shul kitchen, laughter, love. It inspired me as I witnessed the camaraderie that went far beyond mere friendship. As I encountered and befriended people in other cities, I discovered that none of this was normal. There were no chief rabbis. Supermarkets had boring names. Shuls had only one or two kohanim. And bat mitzvahs certainly did not go down that way. And I looked at my roots and I felt awesome. As I entered adulthood, I decided I needed to flaunt it as much as possible. I talk about St. Louis everywhere I go. I wear my Cardinals cap every chance I get. When people comment about my being a baseball fan, I tell them I am not a baseball fan. I am a St. Louis Patriot. And I flaunt the people just as much. For years, until it got destroyed, I had a picture on my refrigerator of my mother being honored at the high school dinner, surrounded by four of her closest friends, all five of them laughing together, a beautiful moment captured in time. And I loved it. I couldn't wait for people to ask me, why do you have a picture of your mother's friends? Because I got to say, why wouldn't I? I just wish I had a picture of the rest of her friends. But no Cardinals cap can capture in words the bonds we all have formed. And I can't capture it either, although I try frequently. Who can describe the run on bicycle helmets following Jack Shapiro's accident? 8 years after the accident, I was a staff member at Camp Mosheva, and my fellow staff members were frustrated before the bike ride that all those St. Louis kids were insisting on wearing helmets. I tried to tell them what had happened. They understood the concept of a near fatal accident, but it didn't work. They couldn't understand. You had to be one of us to have felt that rumble of terror deep in your core and to have grown from it together as we did. I am told that everybody wears helmets on those bike rides now. No picture on the refrigerator can capture all that all of you have done for us. The bat mitzvahs, the weddings, the special birthday celebrations, so many things, so many more than I could imagine, more than I could ever count. The devotion to the three of us and later to our own children, and the devotion to my parents, taking care of my father, taking care of my mother, staying with my father for Shabbos if my mother needed to travel for a simcha, something I had trouble making friends from other cities believe. What do you mean friends are staying with him? You mean family, right? Friends that are just like family. Meeting my mother in emergency rooms, allowing us from afar to remain calm, knowing that if we couldn't be there, having you there was just as good. You are part of all three of us. You are what made us who we are, and you are awesome. I have tried to teach my children to appreciate certain things, such as a real potato knish, but mostly about bonds that never break, that are so bone deep and so defining. It's as if they were always there and they always will be. To look at your roots and love every piece and every person who has shaped you. And that is all of you. And how to love something and take pride in it just because it's yours, even if that thing is a gigantic silver arch. All the talking might have worked. All five of my children have asked me whether we can still visit St. Louis even after my parents have left, on our way to Cleveland, of course. Their reasons include, obviously, the Raskus's pool, cones, which I'm proud to say they call Simon cones because they hear me say it, schnooks, and many others. And when I pointed out to one of my daughters, Bubby and Zadie won't be there, she said, well, we'll visit them in Cleveland, but we can still go to St. Louis because there's still Murray. And I knew then that they got it. They got it after all. They get what it means to be from St. Louis. As Jews living in Gullis, we are accustomed to our hearts being somewhere where we are not. Of course, that place is Yerushalayim, but a person's heart can be in more than one place. We daven towards Yerushalayim, but the three of us, our hearts belong as well to our Jerusalem on the Mississippi. And of course, to all of you. Thank you. Thank you for everything, always. You are in our hearts forever.
Thank you. Adina?
Okay, first, I hope I get through this without all the tears, but it was wonderful. And I hope all of you noticed what screen was behind the last speaker. I'm sure all of you recognized the arch. That was so fitting. So I really, like all the others, did not prepare a speech. I am just going to leave you with some trivia in case you have to go to a trivia evening and need to have answers to some of the trivia questions. Hopefully, first of all, you should all know that Sunny has a collection of schnapps glasses. I'm not sure if you're going to take all of them or not, but they're all very important. Second, I'm also part of that birthday, even though Sunny will always be, as Shelley said, 5 years younger. One of the more important things to know is that after Sunny spoke to me about my key at her house, all night I've been thinking about, now where am I going to leave the key to my house? And for sure, as many of you have said, she's really a tzaddikus and has taken care of everything with her husband all the time. And another two pieces of trivia is that we were presidents of day schools at the same time. And of course, I don't want to leave the Shabbos tea because Sunny used to have come for tea, very particular about what she ate with the tea, but would leave before Shabbos was just letting out. And the last, two last things of trivia is that I used to run into Larry, which of course I didn't, I think the first few years, but we both had offices in the tower at UMSL. It's very important in case you get asked that question. And you should also know that hopefully that both of us maybe will cry after we drop off. I will drop off some dairy cake so we can have tea and cake after this is all over. And last but certainly not least, thank you for letting me be your friend. And now it's your turn to cry.
Me?
Yeah.
It's my turn.
Your turn.
So when Adita said something about cry, it's just funny because I don't cry. I know for my family events, at funerals for people I loved dearly, I never cried. And I'm crying. So here we are. I just kind of overwhelmed by everything everybody said. I did write just a few notes, not very coherently. But I will start with saying that the first person we met in St. Louis was Goldie Sussman. This just popped up to me a few days ago. Just came back to me. We met her. Larry and I were here by ourselves. We'd left our kids with my parents. We were going to come here and get everything set up in the house, and then they were going to come. Unfortunately, that didn't work too well. Our van was supposed to come on Tuesday, and it came late Friday afternoon. So you can imagine what that was like. And then my parents and the kids were coming Saturday, or coming Sunday morning. So we were pretty busy overnight. But before they came, Larry and I had plenty, we could wander around and do whatever we wanted to because we really didn't have anything else to do. And we wandered into the ice cream store. What was it? I can't remember what it was called. It's not here anymore. And I was looking at Larry and I said, do you think the cones are kosher? And I heard from down the aisle there, somebody said, yes, the cones are fine. And I turned around and this person introduced herself. That was Goldie Sussman. She's the first person we met in St. Louis. So I can track that. Shelley was probably the second person because, as she said, somebody had told me, when I get there, I should call Shelley because you're going to like her. And she was right about that. that stuck for a long time. And then gradually, I got a lot of good friends, good friends. They were there for me when I needed them, and when I didn't need them, but just wanted to. He had many good years. Unfortunately, so much of when we think about our family, it's about Larry. And I was so pleased that so many people remembered him as he was before, because he really was just everything that they say he is, that everybody said he is. And I'm glad that that came out. He is truly, he was smart and witty. He might still be witty once in a while, but he's not able to express it. He's still a loving father. If the girls call him or something and he's awake, he often will give a smile. And over the years, I also want to thank all the people who have helped with him. People that I didn't even know. Somebody that I was going, we were going to shul when, we were going up the hill to go to shul, and it was getting late. And somebody I didn't know, I think from one of the other shuls, suddenly took my hand, took the wheelchair up the hill for me. I didn't even know who he was. And he took care of it. There were plenty of people who did things like that. As I said, most of them I didn't know who they were. And there were others, of course, who did know. So I would like to thank all of those people, whether they're here or not. I would like to thank everybody for saying all those nice things. We're going to miss all of you. We were here, I believe, I asked my daughter how long we were here. She said it was 44 years, so I'll believe her. Because I'm not so good at math anymore. They were very good years. I'm sorry we can't stay, but that's what happened. So thank you all very much. I know I'm not very coherent. Dove just said who it was. It was Shia Mintz. I don't know. Well, thank him again for me. And there were other people who did somewhat similar things too. So, again, I'm sorry he missed so much of it.
Sunny, do you want to ask if anybody else wants to say anything to you at this point? We can have a few minutes and whatever you want.
That's fine.
The screen is yours.
I would like to say something.
Sure. Go right ahead.
That's okay.
Sure.
So
for sure.
The daring trio of Larry, Jack, and I did learn probably for Jack, you'll have to for probably 20 plus years. And it was kind of a remarkable trio, because here I was sitting with a truly keen philosopher, if you will. I was sitting with pretty much a brilliant mathematician. And I would be the one to ask, I would say, sometimes gearing questions, because in those 20 plus years that we learned together, we probably, and again, Jack, correct me, we learned probably 7 or 8, maybe even 9 full Gemara Masechtot, line by line, word by word, with discussions and, of course, arguments. And, but we walked away from every one of those sessions with such a memory of learning that it was incredible. And I was the only one that didn't have the background that these two gentlemen had. So I came away with just an amazing sense of really what it means to learn seriously. And I carry that with me every day. Jack and I learn at least once a week still. We always speak about, we wish Larry was with us, and we know that he is in his mind. But Rabbi Bienenfeld, you said something extremely important, that Sunny has some qualities that will carry her through. And I was thinking about that as well. And the two qualities, actually there's three, Sunny. The first two are qualities that Faye and I always saw in you, and we will continue to see in you because we will be in touch with you. And one is Ratzon, and the other is Emuna. You always had that. And Rabbi Bienenfeld, I think, really was implying some of that. But the third one was something that Sunny and Faye and I, when we would see them frequently when we were in St. Louis, would always say to her, Sunny, continue the strength that you've always had. And sort of right before we moved, I would say to Sunny, you've got to get out and walk with us. You've got to get out and exercise. And I taught her how to do this. And that strength, Sunny, is what we always saw in you. And I know that it's going to carry you in your move and in the next stages of your life to come. Be well.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else? Yeah. I think I'm not sure Rabbi Shulman's still on because
I'm here. It's okay. Right. I wanted to say something.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, first of all, Miriam, I really enjoyed your words because there really was a wonderful relationship between everybody in the community, but certainly on that block. Sunny and their neighbor, Sylvan Robinson, that was the Democratic side of the block. And then my father's side was the Republican block. And there was always like good natured back and forth, you know, unlike today, unfortunately, but, you know, always enjoyed that. They just really had a great time. And I think because they all of them had wonderful senses of humor. And then respect. When I hear, and respect for each other. And when I hear Shelley and Bacha and Phyllis, you know, talking about the Black Yeshiva High School days, that was another period of time that I always enjoyed because there was a tremendous amount of respect on everybody's part. Even, you know, not everybody agreed, not everybody was on the same page and everything, but there was always respect. And I just always appreciated that. And Sunny, during those times, your sense of humor and was just amazing. So I remember all of those things fondly, and Miriam in particular, and all the kids who showed great respect to my parents, the feeling was always mutual. And we're going to miss all you guys. And Miriam, we'll still welcome you and all the kids with their carnal hats, even after your parents leave. And Sunny and Larry, you should tell that we're going to miss you guys terribly. You have nothing but atzlacha in Cleveland and enjoy being next to the kids and only good things.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So I about your father and his we had different opinions about things. But one time I told him, I said, Lester, it's really one of the wonderful things about living across the street from you that I can look at your signs all the time and see which ones I'm not going to do. And then I don't even have to read the newspaper. It's right there in front of me. And I was a little nervous because your father was very serious about these things, but he just burst out laughing. It's one of my favorite memories of your father. So I don't even have to look at the newspaper. It's so easy now. I just look outside and don't you do those.
Right, whatever sign he had, you voted against it.
Right.
Sunny, can I share something?
Of course.
So I have one memory. When Miriam was accepted at Barnard, Larry called me and asking me all sorts of questions. And I think one of his questions basically was, how can we afford this? And I really couldn't give him a good answer because I wasn't sure how we could afford it. But Alan and I enjoyed several times when we were with you for Sukkot, several Friday night meals. Alan still remembers dropping the challah knife, which we replaced, but you decided you were going to repair it.
Still using it.
Anyway, we wish you the best of luck. We're going to miss you very much, but we know how important it is for you to be with your family. And who knows, maybe we'll take a car trip and actually stop in Cleveland.
Okay. In the summer. New Jersey.
Yeah, Sunny.
Yeah,
I don't know if a lot of people know how far we go back.
I know.
I first met
Sunny. Babies.
Three babies. I first met Sunny walking into a Lamaze class. And I looked over and I said, like someone else said, oh, look, there's another from woman. So we got to know each other. We had our babies a few weeks apart.
Oh my gosh.
And lost track until 5 years later, we walked into the academy and there they were. And it became a beautiful friendship between the girls and between us. And I'm so glad that it's lasted all this time. We don't talk as often as all the others, but that friendship is still there. And I wish you and Larry lots of hatzlacha and enjoyment being amongst the kids. And we'll keep in touch.
Thank you.
Hello. If I may, Francie Schneider here from Skokie, Illinois. I feel like a real outsider, but yet as a representative, I remember, you know, I was born and raised in St. Louis and moved out to get married, you might say. But when I needed to go back to St. Louis, first stop my mother said is, we'll call the Davises. And ever since then, it's like a second home. Okay, we always knew we had a place. If I call Sunny, she'd pick up the phone and say, hi, Fran, so when you coming? And we always knew we had a place. We always knew. A friend to our parents, they always were. It was wonderful. You should have nothing but health, best of health, and you move, be with the children, the grandchildren, something you haven't had that privilege that some of us do, you know, being in the same city with grandchildren. And just point out what Rabbi Greenfeld had to say, and Rabbi, it was great to see you and hear from you. The fact that there's so many people on this Zoom call is a tribute to the Davises. That shows you right off the bat how far their friendship extends, not just within the city, but outside the city. Once again, I won't take up time. Wishing you hatzlacha. Thank you.
Shalom, Bobby. And as I recall, Larry came from that city up north, that windy one by the lake. And he was a bit of a baseball fan for somebody other than Miriam's beloved Cardinals. Is that right?
I don't think he really cared very much. His father was a baseball fan.
Okay, got it. Well, the reason I was thinking about that is because there once was a woman named Sunny whose sense of humor was funny. A tennis expert kept Monsanto alert, yet she also was Larry's true honey. The daughters they raised oh so well, from their grandchildren they certainly can fell. There we go. I thought Larry was a fan of the Cubs, but in St. Louis that rubs, but people still thought they were swell. So now it's time to head out. We'll miss you, yet try not to pout. Your family will cheer to have you so near. When you're there, please give us a shout. With a mazel tov and a hatzlacha.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Can I have a second?
Oh, sure. Are you part of the family?
What? I don't know, honorary member or something. I'm the youngest, it's okay.
I certainly did not prepare anything, and I couldn't top Miriam's words if I did. I just have to say something. I've been sitting here with tears in my eyes ever since I signed on and started to see the names and people that I have seen, people that I haven't seen in years, people who I grew up with, people who my parents met more recently, who I know only by name or only by face, or people who were part of my lives and my life in very direct ways, aside from my parents, as I was growing up doing things for NCSY or being in Shul or different things. I just have to thank you all myself also, and not only rely on Miriam's beautiful words. And I'm very, very excited to have my parents in Cleveland with me, and for my kids to have them here. But I've sort of been ignoring along the path of, you know, deciding as this decision was made to move here, I've been ignoring the part where they won't be in St. Louis anymore. We already had a longer gap between visits than usual, because we went elsewhere last winter break and then COVID hit. So it's been a really long time since we even got there to see all of you. It's been really wonderful to see some faces and names in this Zoom, and to hear you all appreciating my parents. And I hope that you will stay in touch with them, and that I'll be able to connect with you through them or somehow still visit St. Louis in the future. And thank you so much for everything that you've done for my parents and for my sisters and me for the past over 40 years since before I was born.
Okay, last chance before we say Lahitra out. And if anybody else.
Anybody hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, yes.
This is Chashi from Yerushalayim.
Oh my God.
I just found out today about this, and Esther sent me a link. And I just want to say a lot of Hatzlacha, Sunny. I have very good memories, but it's been a long time since we spoke. And you should have only nachas, and it's wonderful that you're going to be near your children. And I wish you only good things, mazel, hatzlacha, and kol hakavod, gamken.
Okay. So good to hear from you. I think about you often.
Yeah, we
don't do anything about it, but I think about it.
And then there were years you used to come to St. Louis too, but you know that also ended. So I mean, to the Eretz Yisrael. Remember, you used to come to your brother Simchas. And we used to
I sleep in your house.
Right, right. So we should hear only good things from each other, and really hatzlacha rabba on this move, and only good things, Sunny. Maybe we'll
Thank
be
you.
In touch.
I don't Gosh. Think I could. Well, I could get up that hill though anymore.
Chashi, you still sound the same.
I don't look the same. What could we do?
If I can jump in for a second, Gary Menchel.
Oh, hello there.
Hello, Sunny. I was thinking, you know, first of all, thank you to Miriam for giving me the heads up and for putting it on my radar to be part of this. And we have such fond memories seeing a lot of names and faces of people from our time in St. Louis, which was very, very special, really a gift to us and our family. And certainly, Sunny, you are very, very, and have always been a very dear friend, you and Larry, not just in our years working together when you were president, a radical concept, a female president of a yeshiva. But it strikes me that we are in the parshiyot of Bizchut Nashim Tzidkaniyot, because of righteous women that the Jewish people were redeemed. And these are the parashiyot where that really unfolds. I was thinking about you when I saw that Ma'amar Chazal, because not to embarrass you, but your ways were always ways of kindness and yashrut and compassion. And a tzaddik or a tzaddiket is not just one who has knowledge, but one who embodies those characteristics. And I think everyone that knows you knows what an unbelievable friend, what an unbelievable commitment you have to Klal Yisrael, to the community. Of course, your incredible commitment to Larry all of these years, and to your family, no matter what goes on. you're there for everyone. And while we haven't been in touch as much in recent years, we were in touch for many, many years, even after we left St. Louis. And of course, having Sarah as part of the mishpacha, the extended mishpacha, the Rudolph Menchel family, I get to catch up with her and when we see each other at family gatherings. And so I just want to say that I'm sure it's, you know, leaving St. Louis, where you've been for so many years and made such an impact and influenced and touched so many people, is a difficult and bittersweet stage. However, the opportunity to be with family and to be closer and to be able to see family more frequently in Mirtz Hashem should be a mikvat nechama. And also, Mirtz Hashem, you should be blessed with many, many more years of good health and simcha from your children and grandchildren. And I hope that we have an opportunity to see each other and reconnect as well. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Well, Sunny, I think this, yeah, go, I don't know who you are, but go ahead.
Sunny, Joe wants to say something.
Okay, everybody, this is my brother, Joe. Well, yep. That's my Farsi. Hi,
Sunny.
Hi, Joe.
I can't believe you've been in St. Louis for a little bit more than almost 45 years. And you moved to St. Louis just before our wedding. And we made a few trips to St. Louis, all the Simchas, including Bat Mitzvah, a couple of weddings. We ended up wedding in Baltimore, I remember that. And the high school graduation. But we ended up high school graduation. Mark and I drove all the way to St. Louis. We took turns driving from Baltimore. And we had quite some adventures during the visit in St. Louis. I was really amazed to see the world of friends you have. You and Miriam and Rena had all together, and the way everybody's helping you work out the kitchen, getting ready for the luncheon for the Bat Mitzvah. And during our trips to St. Louis for Rena's high school graduation, Sonny, you asked me to move my car out of the driveway so you can go to work during the thunderstorm, electrical storm. So I did. I moved the car out of the driveway, parked it right in front of a house, right next to a tree, a big tree. The next morning I wake up, what I see is a huge tree came down right in front of my car. My car had been a few inches forward, it was being told him. The tree would have been right in front of the car. Also during our trips, Marcy and I went out to lunch. Out in Noble, something like that. With a tornado warning. And I heard that night at the airport, 9 miles away, the plane flipped over in the tornado. We heard the tornado sound, Marcy and I were scared. We're right in front of the big plate window, and you go in the restaurant and said, don't worry about it, you'll be okay. That was scary. So that was quite an adventure we had on our rolling trip to St. Louis. But the closing the friendship Rena and Miriam had with their friends, Sarah too, I couldn't believe the closeness and the affection they had for each other. It was amazing. I tell you something, I admire you, that you really have a lot of great friends, including Agnes, I believe they moved back to Boston Columbus. He was very fond of you, Sonny and Larry. And they remember you very well, even though they lived, because they lived, I think, very across the street from you for a few years.
That was right.
That's true.
Hi.
And now they'll be here with us in Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that, Marcus?
Now they're here in Ohio.
Oh, yeah, you're here in Ohio. I've been here a long time. I think last time I started, I grated ice cream. Just a while. So, anyway, I wish you blockers were moving to Cleveland.
Cool.
Once the pandemic will be over with, we'll be coming to see you in Larry.
We'll look forward to it.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, we'll look forward to it.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
The cube I made with the LSD on it. I bring it to you.
Okay.
Sunny? Okay. Sunny, yeah. can you see me, Rita?
Yes.
Oh, I see Rita Breslow.
Yeah. I'm so happy for you because I know how these years have been. But your strength has been just amazing. Everything you do for Larry, everything. I can't tell you how happy I am that you're going to be with your family, your kids, and all the Simchas that you've missed. And I hope everything goes safely. And Larry will be there and his children will get to visit with him often. So I'm going to miss you, but I'm so happy for you.
Thank you very much. And you're my hero as well.
Well, thank you all. I think this has been more than wonderful. I'm sure Sunny feels how special this was. And
completely overwhelmed.
So if there's no more, we'll just say Lahitra out and hope we all keep in touch with you. And you will be so happy to be with your children and your grandchildren who are going to love you to death. So,
for sure.
Thank you so, all thank you. And for the happy memories.
Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Sunny.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Shulman, for doing all of this. And we really appreciate it. And have a wonderful day with all of us who are hoping to get vaccinated. Bye.
Thank you, everybody. Good health.
We want to be back in shul.
That's right. That's right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.